Welcome to the Teachers on Fire podcast, where I profile agents of growth and transformation in education today. Each guest shares their highs, their lows, their passions, their goals, and the resources that are shaping their thinking and inspiring their practice. For show notes and links from each episode, visit teachersonfire.net. You can also follow the show at Teachers on Fire on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And of course, please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Tim Cavey. Let's meet today's guest. Today, I'm speaking with Tisha Richmond. Tisha is a tech integration specialist, culinary teacher, speaker, and author of Make Learning Magical. Follow her on Twitter at TishRich and hashtag MLMagical, and visit her blog at TishaRichmond.com. Tisha, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Are you ready to talk education?
I am so honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you, and I'm excited to talk about your book. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about your current context in education? What does that look like for you on a daily basis?
So currently, I am the tech integration specialist in the Medford School District in Southern Oregon, and I am the first one in this district in this role, really, and I am serving 19 schools. So I'm supporting teachers K through 12 in 19 schools, and I absolutely love it. It's very different from what I have done for the past 22 years, which was culinary teacher. So this is a role that is challenging, but definitely in my passion area. And so I enjoy it every day.
Well, I hope we get to hear more about that transition, Tisha, from the kitchen to the world of ed tech and what that looks like in the classroom. And I'm sure there is a lot more overlap than one might expect. But we'll start with a low moment or an experience of adversity that you faced somewhere in your teaching or education career. Tell us that story and explain how you overcame it.
Sure. So it was about 2014, and I was at a real low point as an educator. I was frustrated. I was tired. And oftentimes I would come home at night and I would just tell my husband, you know, I would love to be a barista. Like, that sounds really, really fun. I just want to perfect the art of making a latte. And, you know, I had that thought more often than I would like to admit. But I knew something had to shift. And, you know, I had this sign that was by my door in my classroom, and it said, "Above all, have a good time." It was a Julia Child's quote. And one day I looked at that sign and I'm like, you know what? I'm not enjoying what I'm doing anymore. And so I really didn't know what to do about it, because the reality was I really wasn't going to stop teaching. I was, I was invested at this point. I had put in so many years. But something kind of magical happened that year, in that all of the culinary teachers in our region decided to request iPads with our Carl Perkins funding. And at the time, I was like, that's just one more thing. It's one more thing. And I don't know. And I decided, you know what? We're all doing it. Let's go for it. And when I go for something, I'm just going to go all in. And I knew that I needed professional development, because the truth was I had an iPad for my own personal use, but I had never used it in education. And so I went to my first ed tech conference called iPad Palooza in Austin, Texas, and my mind was just blown. I could not believe all the amazing things educators were doing with technology and how many innovative strategies you could bring into your classroom. And so that was really the catalyst for me that really launched me into this journey of transforming my classroom. And so I refer to that time in my life a lot, because it was really, that's where the transformation began.
What a neat experience. And I love how the iPads, or just bringing in some extra, I would imagine, access to outside resources and tutorials. And we all know what YouTube is becoming in the world of culinary. So, I mean, tell us a little bit more about what that looked like, because I just picture iPads on cutting boards covered in flour.
Well, sometimes they were. Well, you know, I think that was the thing. When I knew that I was bringing iPads into my classroom, I did not want it to just be a tool for researching recipes or typing out recipes. I really wanted them to be used in a transformative way. And I didn't know how to do that. And so, you know, I started a lot of things. I began by just figuring out, okay, how can this be part of my normal workflow in my classroom? And so I discovered Google Classroom. And so everything that I did went through Google Classroom. My students brought up their recipes on Google Classroom, and they would bring them into their kitchens and use them in that way. But it went way beyond that. Students started to demonstrate their learning through the iPads. They created iMovie videos. They created promo trailers. They app smashed different apps together for creating infographics and video tutorials, like tasty videos. They did some green screen videos, all sorts of ways that these iPads were being used in the classroom to demonstrate learning. And It was so much fun when I realized the potential of these devices.
That is amazing. You know, this year in my own practice, I'm experiencing a platform called Seesaw for the first time. And one of the reasons I'm a big fan is, just like Flipgrid, it allows students to post demonstrations of their own learning. And as you said, things like tutorials and videos and green screens and all these other creations that actually take their learning to the next level. So, you know, where in the past we might have asked students to complete a product, and I'm just guessing something like a cake or a loaf of bread, and then answer a multiple choice quiz, now they have all these other options of not just consumption, not just watching lessons, but actually creating lessons, creating tutorials, or all these different kinds of products that really take their learning to the next level, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So in September, Tisha, you published Make Learning Magical, Transform Your Teaching and Create Unforgettable Experiences in Your Classroom. And I feel like we've already had a bit of a taste of that, of where you're going with this. But tell us more about the heart and mission of this book. Why did you write it? And what can educators expect to take away from it?
So the reason I wrote it was because I had such a transformation in my own journey. I talked a little bit already about how I dreamt of being a barista, and starting with that conference and bringing iPads into my classroom, my experience as an educator changed. And I wrote this book because I wanted to reach educators everywhere and let them know that no matter how long you've been in education, you can transform your classroom and create magical experiences in your world, in your edu setting. And magical actually is an acronym. And the M stands for meaningful beginnings. A stands for authenticity and agency. G is gamified experiences. I is innovation. C is creativity, collaboration, and curiosity. A is authentic audience. And L is legacy. And so when I really thought about my transformation as an educator, I thought about what were the keys that really unlocked that magical experience for me. And that is why I broke it down into the acronym of MAGICAL, because those were the components that truly unlocked this experience for me as an educator. And so I dive into each of those in my book, sharing my story, but also sharing how any educator, it doesn't matter what age of student you teach, can bring each of those components into their classroom.
Now, I am so in love with every one of those components, Tisha. And it's funny that the L stands for legacy. You know, just today I was giving my eighth graders kind of my thoughts on legacy. And, you know, I was giving them an opportunity to begin a self-guided video project. And I said, one of the options I'd like you to consider is interviewing your grandparents, because one of the opportunities I see in this digital age is, you know, building and creating content that creates legacy, that treasures these memories of the people that we love. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about where you're going with legacy in your book.
Well, I think that sometimes we forget as educators, you know, truly what a tremendous impact that we make that we may never even realize, you know. And I ran it. One of my stories in my book was about one of my own teachers. It was my fifth grade year that I ran into at a beauty salon one day, and I was sitting there waiting to get my hair cut, and I looked up and I knew her instantaneously. I was like, oh my goodness, that is my fifth grade teacher. And I think one of the reasons that I really recognized her, well, first of all, she had bright red hair, and she looked just like I remembered her. And that was a traumatic year for me. There was a lot of things that had happened in my life that were, it wasn't my favorite year really, but she really stood out to me as an educator that helped me and just really nurtured me as a kid that was fairly shy and insecure and going through a lot of things. She really made me feel safe in that classroom. And she even, I gamified my culinary classroom. And I remember her bringing in gamified elements into her classroom too. And so I knew that before I left that salon, I wanted to talk to her and make sure that she knew what an impact that she made on my life. And it was so neat to have that interaction, and her face just lit up. And, you know, of course she said, oh, I remember you. And who knows, she probably had no clue who I was. But just the way that she responded to me just made me realize why she was so memorable in my childhood experience, because she, even as a grown person, and even if she did not remember me at all, she made me feel like I was special and I was important. And I just think about how many times, you know, we have these kids in our classrooms and they leave and they go on and they may never have that opportunity to express to their teachers what an impact they made. And so, but yet we do. And so I think that is just really important for us as educators to remember that we are making an impact every single day. And, you know, when my students left my classroom, I thought, you know, 20 years down the road, it doesn't matter if they were, you know, now a chef or in the hospitality industry, or just making dinner for their families, I want them to think back on their experience in my classroom with fond memories, because those are building blocks that I'm teaching them that I'm hoping that they're going to build on for a lifetime. I want them to continue to cook once they leave my classroom. And so if we create these experiences for our students where that learning doesn't stop, they want to continue learning. I think that that's just really important.
So good. That'll preach, Tisha. That'll preach. But awesome. So we're going to move on. Now, I've noticed that you've been involved. You've been posting lately about Breakout Edu. Now, I have to make an admission and say I still have not tried Breakout Edu, even though our librarian at my school recently picked up a set. So for the uninitiated, tell us what's great about Breakout Edu.
So you know what's funny is I, for the longest time, did not venture into Breakout Edu either. And as a classroom teacher, I have to tell you, I never used it in my classroom in culinary arts. And I did, as a lead teacher at my school, I did use it with staff, but I never did in my classroom. And I think I was a little intimidated by it. But it changed this last summer when a friend of mine, Ann Brucker, who works for Breakout Edu, connected with me, and we collaborated on creating a breakout game for my book, for Make Learning Magical. So there is a game out in the platform for Make Learning Magical that's amazing. And I say we collaborated, but really, I mean, Anne made the game. Like, I really didn't do anything to create this game. She made it. But we collaborated in that she wanted to bring in content from my book into the game. And then she actually came out to Medford for a Make Learning Magical Summit that we offered in our region. And she facilitated this breakout EDU game for the very first time. And so that was my real first initiation into Breakout EDU. And from there, moving into this new role as a tech integration specialist, I knew that I wanted to bring this to our district because I had experienced, you know, in that session, but also I had experienced in other sessions as well, playing the game, and I knew how amazing it was. And I knew that I needed to take a risk because, like I said before, this intimidated me a little bit. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And so I had talked to my administrator and said, you know, I think it would be great if we could buy a set of boxes and just try it out. And so I presented it to our innovation team right before break. The boxes came right before we went to winter break. And so I showed them, we played a game, and then I had no idea what kind of a response I would receive. And when I introduced it to my innovation team, I said, if you want to do this in your classroom, not only will I set the locks and print all the resources for you, but I will bring it to your classroom and I will facilitate it for you, because I really wanted to remove the barriers for teachers, because teachers are so exhausted, so tired. And even though they may think that this sounds cool, it seems daunting, just because I knew for me as an educator, it seemed daunting. And I'm a pretty risky, you know, jump in and try something new kind of person. And so for educators who may not be that way, I knew that I had to remove some barriers. And so I offered that, and little did I know at the time that many, many teachers would take me up on it. And I've actually facilitated breakouts for many of the schools in our district for staff meetings. But you know what's been amazing? For one, I've learned a ton, and I feel so comfortable with Breakout EDU now because I've been forced to. I've been forced to learn how to set the locks and how to just facilitate a game. And it's helped me get into classes K through 12 because I was in the culinary room for 22 years. And so I wanted to see what it was like in the different classrooms throughout our district. And so I have grown a ton from it, but seeing students immersed in this experience has been phenomenal. You know, I talk in our district about amplifying the four C's and bringing more creativity and collaboration and critical thinking and communication. And it's like all of those come together in this amazing, powerful way when students engage in this game. And it is truly remarkable to see the level of immersion. Like, students are all in, and the excitement and the enthusiasm in the room when they're playing is electrifying. And then what I love too is the reflection time afterwards. After you play the game and you talk to kids about, what were you frustrated about? How did it feel when you unlocked a lock? Which clue made you really think hard and critically, and having those conversations and the answers that students will share it's just super powerful. And having that productive struggle, you know, kids sometimes get so frustrated, but it's this productive struggle that they're going through. But then when they actually accomplish solving the lock and they open that box, it's like exhilarating for them. And they know that they worked so hard, but it feels so good to actually, you know, accomplish solving these puzzles, because they're hard. And there's not a directions like do step one, two, and three. It's here's a clue, figure it out. What is that clue trying to tell you? And so I am just, I think it's fantastic. And I know I post a lot lately about it, because that's really what I'm doing these days, is facilitating breakouts. It's like every day I've been facilitating another breakout. But I really encourage anybody who hasn't tried it to just go for it. And the community, the Breakout EDU community on Twitter, is amazing too. If you follow their hashtag, they're sharing out amazing things.
Well, again, I'm sold, and I think I said that last time this came up, but Lynn, if you're listening, this is me putting it on the record. I'm going to bring my class by. So thank you, Tisha, and love what you're doing there. Now, looking outside of everything we've discussed so far, maybe thinking big picture, Tisha, what really excites you about education today?
You know, I'm really excited about the possibilities of global collaboration, not only professionally, but for our students. You know, the last year that I was teaching culinary, I really, for the first time, started to collaborate with educators outside of my district for classroom. Like I was connected as an educator, and I was professionally connecting through Twitter, but not necessarily creating experiences for my students to connect globally. And so that last year that I was at the high school, I had two opportunities to connect with educators. One was Stephanie Crawford. She is an educator in Chicago. And my students collaborated with her eighth grade marketing students on creating logos for their food trucks. I gamified cool. my classroom, and we had the amazing food truck race where students would have food trucks that they would create and basically go across the country from Medford, Oregon to Medford, Maine. Creating this food concept. So let's say one food truck was called Crepe ADM and they specialized in crepes. They would take that concept and they would adapt it to every region that we visited. So they would create a Northwest crepe and a Midwestern crepe and a Southern crepe. And then we would bring in an authentic audience to judge these dishes as they adapted them, and they would have to, you know, research the Midwest and what the flavors and profiles were, and then have a presentation as well that they presented using iMovie or creating an infographic or have whatever means they wanted to do that, that they would also present to this authentic audience of judges. And so this class in Chicago created logos for my students' food trucks. And so they collaborated using Flipgrid and just through Google Docs and Google Suite to come up with this logo that they use for their food truck. And so that was really fun. And then I also connected with a first grade class. I don't know if you know Brandy Miller in Florida. She's done a lot of global collaboration. She's amazing as well. And what my students would do was I would have certain challenges in my either my food truck race or my amazing race. I had a couple different game plans going on with different classes. My students would have a challenge where they created a dish, they would post it to Padlet, and then her first grade class would open the Padlet and then judge on their favorite dishes. And that was really fun. And then they also would collaborate via Flipgrid as well. So students would talk back and forth, and it was phenomenal. And, you know, I wished I would have started earlier, because there's so many opportunities that we have as educators to connect with students from all over the world, and not only students, but professionals, and the things you can do with mystery Skype and with virtual field trips. I mean, I've just begun to tap into it. And so I think that opening up our school walls and giving students the experience where many of our students don't even leave our area. And so to give them opportunities to learn about different cultures through global collaboration, I think is phenomenal.
Wow, that was magical, Tisha. I love those examples. And I think in this age, you really put your finger precisely on something I'm a big believer of, that we're just tapping, we're just getting a sense of the possibilities now of our students sharing their learning around the world. And it's a global audience. It's an authentic audience. And those are great examples of students doing just that. So that is so exciting. Now let's ratchet up the accountability, Tisha. How are you looking to grow professionally and improve your practice this year? Can you share about a specific professional goal or some kind of an area that you are working on?
Yes. The more that I learn, the more I realize I don't know anything. Like, there's so much more to learn. And I think zooming out in this new role as a tech integration specialist, I just want to learn as much as I can about so many areas so that I can bring it to our teachers. And so You know, one of the areas I'd love to learn more about is augmented and virtual reality. Jamie Donnelly is a friend of mine who's phenomenal, and I just am a sponge. I just want to learn as much as I can about that because that's something that I don't know enough about at all. And just really learning about just all of the things out there in education and finding innovative ways to bring that learning to my teachers in my district, really thinking outside of the box of how can I create PD opportunities that, you know, meets all of their needs, really personalizing it. And then in my own, outside of my district role, I want to continue blog writing. I love speaking on Make Learning Magical and just my own passions in education. So I definitely want to continue doing that. And then I'm really excited because I was just accepted in a class through Breakout EDU to learn how to create my own breakout games. So that class just started this week. And so I'm really looking forward to learning how to do that because one of the areas that I know that Breakout wants to expand in their platform is the career and technical ed and family and consumer science games that are available. And I know that was one of the reasons why I probably didn't venture into bringing it into my own classroom was I knew that I would have had to create my own game to really teach the content for culinary. And so if I can help in creating some of those games so that there's more choices out there for career technical and family and consumer sciences, that would be amazing. So I want to do it all. I have to pace myself, but I love learning. It's definitely a passion of mine.
And I think that's the way you have to position yourself, right? I think in your position and with your title, you know, some might feel a certain pressure almost, right? To be on top of every single thing out there. And you simply can't, as you said. But I think presenting yourself as, hey, I have this passion to learn. I'm learning beside you. And maybe there are a few things that I can share, that makes the job, it must make the job so exciting and rewarding.
Yes, absolutely.
I love this next question, Tisha. Outside of education, if you can go there, and some guests have a really tough time with this, but looking outside of education, away from the school, what is it that ignites your passions? What is it that brings you alive as a human being?
Well, I do love design. I, at one point in my life, a long, long time ago, thought I might want to be an interior designer. And so I found that as I've gotten older, that love for interior design has kind of moved into other aspects of design as well. And I just love to create. So I'm always wanting to learn new ways to, you know, whether it's hand lettering, I like to sketchnote and create my own fonts, whether it's doing that or learning how to do graphic design, that really intrigues me. So I found as I've gotten older that I really love to be creative. And I think that was a little bit of a stumbling block for me when I was younger because I just didn't think I was creative. And so my whole view on creativity has changed. And I just realized how much joy it brings me to create.
Very, very fun. Now, did you get to design your book cover, Make Learning Magical?
I didn't, but I love it. And I did give input on kind of what was in my head, what I was thinking about as far as the design. And they read my mind. It was just absolutely perfect, exactly what I wanted.
Tisha, share about a personal habit or some kind of a productivity hack that contributes to your success. What do you go to on the daily or on the regular that helps make it all happen?
Well, you know, I'm in search of some productivity hacks myself right now. But I think one thing that really keeps me sane is just exercise and running. For me, my mind is just spinning a million miles per minute. And for me to just go out and run allows me to just reflect and think about my day and process. And I think some of my best ideas come when I have that time and I can just go. And I know that it just makes me feel better emotionally and helps me reduce stress and anxiety too. And it doesn't always mean that I love just, I don't come home and go, oh, I just can't wait to run, like, or get up in the morning. And, you know, I it depends on the time, on different days I run in the morning or the evening, but afterwards I just feel so much better. And again, like I said, so often I'll come home from a run and jot down all the ideas that came to me during that time. But another one is writing. Writing is something that I have realized later in life that I love. And it's been a really powerful way for me to reflect as well. And sometimes I just come home and I just crave writing. And some of it's just journal writing. Some of it ends up in a blog, but it's been really, really powerful in my, just in my journey as an educator.
That's so cool. I resonate with both of those as well. So Tisha, it's time for your quick picks, the education voices and resources that are shaping your practice and inspiring your thinking. So starting at Twitter, tell us about someone we should follow there and share why they've been inspiring you lately.
Oh my heavens. There are so many people that inspire me on a daily basis. I'm really excited for Tamara Letter and her new book, Passion for Kindness. She is an amazing educator and just spreads joy. So I'm really excited for her and her recent book release. Somebody in my district that I think you should follow is, her name is Rebecca Van Duker, and her Twitter handle, I believe, is sixth, S-I-X-T-H is goal. And she is doing remarkable things in her classroom, room transformations, just really creative things. And I think you will be very inspired if you follow her handle. She's phenomenal.
Okay, great picks. Next, point us to an ed tech tool that you currently love using somewhere in your practice, or maybe one that you see teachers using to great effect in their work.
So my go-to in my professional practice is Canva. I absolutely love Canva for creation. I use it all of the time. I love Pear Deck. That's something that I have introduced to my innovation team this year that they're really loving. It's a wonderful way for students to collaborate and critically think through their, not only their flashcard factory, but the interactivity of their the platform. I love that. I love Flipgrid, another very versatile tool that you can use in so many different ways. And again, the educators in my district are just really jumping on board with that as well. So those are probably three of the tools that I'm using and our teachers are using most often right now.
Recommend a book, one that you've been reading lately, or maybe one of your all-time faves, and tell us why you recommend it.
Oh my goodness. You know, I love to read and I have a lot of favorites. I think that Teach Like a Pirate was definitely one that started me really rethinking what education could be. And that was one that I've read numerous times just to kind of fire me up again as an educator. Explore Like a Pirate by Michael Matera, and Teach Like a Pirate is by Dave Burgess. Explore Like a Pirate by Michael Matera was another real, a book that definitely had a huge impact on me as an educator in gamifying my classroom. So I think if I think about the books that really made the biggest impact on my transformation as an educator, I would say those two.
Well, Michael is definitely one of the leading voices out there on gamification, and I know that is a passion of yours as well. So that makes sense. Tisha, if you're a podcast listener, tell us about one that you've been listening to lately, maybe on your commute or when you're out on those runs, and tell us why we should add it to our subscription list.
Well, while I'm chatting about Explore Like a Pirate, I will say that Michael's Well Played.
Yeah.
Podcast is excellent, and that is definitely one that you should follow and listen to. Let me think. It's interesting because, you know, I didn't used to have a commute. I lived right around the corner from school, and so I would never listen to podcasts on, you know, on the way to school, but I would always listen to them, you know, just during running. I would say I love the Google Tribe and the Ditch That Textbook. Matt Miller and Casey Bell are always just sharing amazing things as well. I really enjoy the Cult of Pedagogy podcast too. So I guess those are some of my definite go-tos.
Those are awesome. And then I know not everyone likes to subscribe to YouTube channels, Tisha, but if you are the subscribing type, is there one that you really enjoy, or maybe it's some kind of a go-to resource for you?
I am not a huge YouTube channel gal, but I would love to shout out Carrie Bauckham, who has her YouTube channel on sketchnoting. She's fantastic. And if you're interested in sketchnoting, that's definitely one that I would check out.
I will definitely look that up and add that to the show notes as well. I've been thinking I have to give my students more opportunities to sketchnote during documentaries or you know, during certain times when they're exposed to information. And that's something I'd like to learn more about as well. So that leaves us with one more question. This one is just for fun, Tisha, strictly non-educational. What are you watching on Netflix right now?
So I don't watch a ton of TV, but I have got hooked on The Masked Singer. It's kind of a singing show where the contestants they're famous people, but you don't know at all who they are. They're completely covered head to toe in a mask and they sing. And you are trying to figure out who these people are. And so they'll reveal clues throughout the episode.
Okay.
And someone during that show is eliminated, and then they reveal who that person is. And then everybody who makes it go on to the next episode. So I just love the element of mystery that reality show has. And I love singing, and I'm a horrible singer. I can't even sing Happy Birthday. So anytime I can watch a show with people singing, I love it. So
sounds like fun. I think my wife might get into that. So we'll take a look at The Masked Singer. Tisha, this has been a great conversation. Thank you again so much for sharing the time with us today. What are the best ways for the listeners to follow you and get more of that magical content?
Well, you can definitely follow me on Twitter at Tish Rich, T-I-S-H-R-I-C-H. You can follow me on my blog, tisharichmond.com. I love to blog write, and I also have a resource page where you can find recipes and just different resources that I have created. And then on Facebook, it's TishRich91. I do have a page for Make Learning Magical. And Instagram is at TishRichmond.
Sounds good, Tisha. Those all make sense. Those are all fairly consistent and should be easy enough to remember. Again, if you're listening and you have yet to pick up Tisha's book, check out Make Learning Magical. Transform your teaching and create unforgettable experiences in your classroom. But again, Tisha, thank you so much. I know asking for this much time on a weekday evening is no small ask, so I really appreciate it. Take care and look forward to following you online. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you so much. It's been so much fun.
Thanks so much for joining me here today on the Teachers on Fire podcast. For show notes and links from this episode, visit teachersonfire.net. You can also follow the show at Teachers on Fire on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium. And again, please do subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Tim Cavey, saying goodbye for now, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast.